Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, Ross Kinson joins us. He's chair of the Washoe Dems, and he's here for the whole show on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
A power line is more than a power line. It's maintaining the bottom line for small businesses. It's keeping the assembly line moving for our workforce. For our brightest minds, it's meeting a deadline. It's on the front line with our heroes. And on the sidelines of the biggest games. It's a direct line to our loved ones. And it's a lifeline for the most vulnerable. There's a lot on the line.
The trucking industry is the most resilient link in the supply chain. And for over 90 years, the Nevada Trucking Association has been the voice for the men and women in the trucking industry. From Carson City to Washington, D.C., we advocate for policies to protect our trucking companies and keep commerce flowing. Because Nevada's and America's prosperity is tied to trucks. There's nothing without trucking.
Meet Nevada HealthLink, Nevada's official health insurance marketplace. Your link to savings, selection, free assistance, and name brand health insurance. Where 90% of enrollees lower the cost of their monthly premium. Everyone deserves access to quality health coverage, no matter your income or family size. Visit NevadaHealthLink.com. A few minutes could save you hundreds of dollars per month.
Nevada HealthLink. Our plans are made for your plans.
Fantastic cocktails and delicious food. It's a good time to eat. Over 500 hot slots plus electronic table games.
It's a good time to play.
Player rewards and big time jackpots.
It's a good time to win.
Ooh, your good times are tamarack.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're pleased to welcome to the program for the first time Ross Kinson. He is chair of the Washoe Dems. It is a pleasure to have you on the program, sir.
Really nice to be here. Thanks.
So please just give us a brief history of how you got here.
Sure. So we'll start at the beginning. I came to Nevada in 2008. My dad has lived here for a long time, and so started going to college, needed to find a job, and really began my journey working at UPS. So UPS is a union shop. Didn't know much about unions at the time, but quickly learned that, you know, what we have at UPS is a lot better than anywhere else in that industry. And that's really because we have collective bargaining. We have the right to strike. We have the right to withhold our labor. And that puts pressure on companies to sort of treat their workers better. And that idea was sort of revolutionary to me. I became a shop steward, represented other members, on the shop floor if they were getting in trouble or if they had grievances or things like that. And so that idea of sort of fighting for my fellow workers was instilled into me at a pretty young age, pretty early on. And from there, I had the opportunity to become what's called a business agent, which is someone who works directly for the union. And I'm a Teamster's Local 533. And so when I had the opportunity to work directly for the union, that was very appealing to me because it gave me the opportunity to advocate for workers on a much broader scale. And so I've been doing that since 2019, representing still mainly UPS workers, but a lot of other industries as well, whether that be our cement mixers, you know, those ready mix trucks, whether that be the folks over at Keolis who drive our
buses.
Public buses.
Yeah.
And then recently moving a lot more into the political side of things, because ultimately one of the things that you sort of have to understand is that, well, everything is politics. And if you're not advocating and fighting for workers at the legislature, you're missing a huge piece of what unions do. And so I became the president of the Northern Nevada Central Labor Council, which is an arm of the AFL-CIO. And so I sit on as the president for the CLC, as well as the vice president for the AFL-CIO statewide, and have been doing that for the last 3 years. And recently, very recently, I had the opportunity to become the chair of the Washoe Democratic Party. And I was given that opportunity because I think of my ties to labor and how people see that I advocate for everyday working folks. And that, I, you know, here in Washoe, within the scope of what we're doing here, that's important to this party, is fighting for the little man, fighting for the worker. And so when, like I said, when I was offered this opportunity, I felt like it was something that I really had to take, had to jump on to, because right now I think that both parties have an identity crisis. You know, where, who is it that they really want to represent? And I find that a lot of times that they want to represent themselves. And so one of the things that we have really been focused on in this last 4 months is how do we can start building that community back up? And specifically, how do we build that community with folks who haven't been in that community before, right? We have a lot of older folks who have been in the party for a really long time and are staunch advocates for getting Democrats elected. But what I'm noticing is that a lot of folks my age and younger.
And you are?
35. And so a lot of folks my age and younger are sort of becoming disillusioned with the entire process. It's my opinion that when you become disillusioned, you have two choices. You can either bury your head in the sand and say there's nothing I can do about it and I'm just going to sit at home and watch Netflix. And, or you can try and change the narrative. And so I'm working with a lot of folks my age. Our board that was recently elected, 4 of the 7 are 35 and younger. And so we really are trying to engage with younger folks, maintaining the connection that we have with our predecessors who have been there for a long time, but really trying to dial in and talk to people who are our age and figure out what their problems are, and then figuring out, okay, well, how can we then communicate better with our electeds to make sure that they're actually representing those needs?
Okay, so first of all, perhaps not an obvious question, but how do you communicate with your younger audience? Because traditional methods of communicating are gone.
Yes, yes they are. So, I mean, that's a great point, right? I have spent the last 2 cycles going and knocking on doors, and anytime that you go to someone's house who is, you know, 35 or younger, good luck getting them to answer the door. Even if they're home, they just look at the window and sort of wave you off and go, no, I would rather not talk. A lot of us in my generation, and I don't know if, I it's weird, I don't know if this is a generational thing or not, but I've noticed a lot more folks from my generation are sort of antisocial, would be the word. Not completely antisocial, right? But like, we connect through different means. Mm-hmm. We still want connection, but it's so much easier to get connection through online gaming, through texting, through chat rooms, through things like that. And so human connection, talking with someone and really having someone, like really opening up to a stranger, that doesn't happen as much. And so it's really about trying to meet that generation where they're at. And if that means that we need to be more dialed in on our social media, great. I think that's fine. But it also means that we need to create a space that is inviting and welcoming for young folks without having an ask, right? I think far too often political parties always want to have an ask. Oh, you showed up to an event, so now we really need you to volunteer, or we really need you to give us money, or we really need you to do this, or we really need you to do that. That is not how you build something. That is not how you build a movement. That's not how you build a party. You need to create a, you need to have a clear idea, a moral vision of where you want to go.
Yeah, exactly. You need to have a destination.
And
otherwise you can't get there.
Right. And then you need to just talk about that in spaces that are fun and inviting. Whether that be,
for example,
so one of the things that we've been doing recently are monthly movie nights. Just come and watch a movie, hang out, have some popcorn, have some candy, and it's all done at the Washoe Dems office. But there's no ask to it. It's just coming and hanging out.
Okay, I got to ask you, what movies? Give me a couple.
Well, we do have Pride coming up, so we are going to be hosting a Milk on the September 5th, the day before the Pride Parade.
The movie about Harvey Milk.
Exactly, right. Exactly. But our first movie was Legally Blonde, right? I mean, so not everything that we are showing is directly correlated to politics. It's not all heavy stuff. It's something that's fun and interesting and creates a conversation, right? When we look at Legally Blonde, it's about someone who ostensibly starts out as sort of ditzy and oh my gosh, but really leans into that and shows that she has a voice and has power and creates a following. And so it doesn't matter who you are. It's all about, you know, how much effort and work you put into it. And as long as you're sticking to the core value of who you are, people will follow that. People will resonate with that. And that's something that we're trying to do within the scope of the Washoe Dems as well, right? It's not about the ask. It's about the message.
All right. So let's try to gather some of these things together, because obviously I am way beyond the 35-year age mark.
Sure.
But I have relationships with people who are 35 and below. And what I have found, and you can correct me if you think I'm wrong, is that the means of communication are different, but the actual communication one-on-one is just fine.
Yes.
When I go to a school, like a middle school, for example, and I talk to the kids, they're just like any other kids. I mean, in a lot of cases, very smart kids, mm-hmm. And who are not shy to have a conversation. But I know that if I were to call them on the telephone, they would probably look at their phone and go, I'm not answering that. Who is that? So the means of communication is different. I'm somebody who returns as best I can, calls and texts and emails as fast as possible. I don't expect every millennial that I communicate with to respond within a day, a week, sometimes a month. I don't know how they keep track of all of their messages. But I think that the core communication is still there, which is that just as you and I are sitting here across the table having a conversation without any difficulty, yeah. It's not that you are introverted. It's just a different way of communicating.
True.
And that things have grown. I think it's a smart idea to build this on a social basis, because I think that's one of the problems, and especially with kids that grew up and came into early maturity during COVID, where they didn't have the connections. I think that was still a very difficult time for people, and they're still in recovery from that. Would you agree? And that's why part of doing Legally Blonde is not a bad idea.
Sure. Yes. On a general level, I do agree, because...
So where do you disagree?
Well, let's start with where I agree, right? I do believe that COVID had a major effect on people. I think... So during that time, I was still driving for UPS, and so my day didn't change.
Right.
Right. I was an essential worker. Still went out, but our streets were empty. Our schools were closed. Everything was remote. If you wanted to go and hang out with friends, it all had to be online. And this happened for, I mean, it seems like it was just a blip, but it happened for an extensive period of time. And so when you look at our schools, during that time, the level of education that was received, no matter how hard these teachers worked to maintain, it couldn't have been the same, right? There is something to be said about human connection. About
absolutely.
Being able to, after a class is over, walk up to your teacher and say, hey, I didn't want to ask in front of the class, but I just didn't quite understand this. Can you help explain this to me? You don't get that virtually because the class just ends. And once the screen is off, it's so much harder to then pick up the phone and say, hey, you know, Mrs. Smith, I had a question about this problem. I didn't quite understand it. So yes, I think that COVID did have an effect. And I think that you're correct in saying that my generation and younger do have issues answering the phone and things like that. It may seem simplistic, but really I think it comes down to just how many calls we get from people who are just asking for something. Oh, I'd like to talk to you about this, or I'd like to talk to you about that, or can I sell you this, or can I sell you that? And so when I see that I'm getting a phone call, especially if it's from a number I don't recognize, 9 times out of 10, I will let it go to voicemail. And then I'll listen to the voicemail and decide whether or not that's a phone call I should return. There is a social anxiety around having those calls because there's always an ask. And we've, as our generation, have already had, we've got so many, we have so many disadvantages. The cost of a house in 2013 for a starter home was $140,000. And now that same home is supposedly $500,000. And the cost to get food for myself, I could have gone once a week to the grocery store and spent $50 and gotten all the food I need. And now it's $200. And so if I get a phone call saying, hey, I'd really like you to donate your time or donate your money, that's just, on top of everything else, I mean, the exhaustion of day in and day out life, knowing that you're gonna have to work 2 or 3 jobs just to try and stay afloat, not get ahead, stay afloat, and then someone's gonna ask you for something else, that I think is where the anxiety comes in. I think that's sort of the root cause. And so we've had a lot of conversations as a board about this and really just want to give people a place to escape and have a talk, give them a space to open up about their feelings. Because you're right, folks do want to have those conversations. People do want to tell you their story. They want to try and find solutions on how we fix these day in and day out issues. Whether you're on the right or on the left, people are people. Everyone right now, I think, is trying to figure out how on earth they stay afloat. My job, our job, is to create a space to get them gathered together, feeling comfortable to have those conversations, and then have a discussion about how we get there. How do we get those things? I'm not here to dictate to you how we get there. I have my own ideas, certainly, just like I assume you have your own ideas. But that's not how you build a community. A community is listening.
Right. So let's take a quick break. We'll come right back. More with Russ Kinson. He's the chair of the Washoe Dems after this.
The Nevada Builders Alliance has been protecting the interests of the construction industry for over 50 years. Our programs save members thousands of dollars every year and allow them to provide much-needed benefits to their employees. Our industry also allows Nevada to grow. If you're thinking about a career in the construction industry, reach out. And if you haven't thought of a career in construction, what are you waiting for? We are the Nevada Builders Alliance.
Take a look at Pro Group Management and see how your workers' comp requirements can be met head-on. By taking a proactive approach, Pro Group can assure that your company is meeting or exceeding state and federal standards. As you move forward in your industry, Pro Group moves with you, simplifying regulatory tasks, clearing the way so you can get the job done, and look to your future success. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you.
Retail's impact on Nevada's economy? Enormous. 8,600 businesses, large and small, employing 145,000 workers. And last fiscal year, retail paid tax on nearly $60 billion in sales. We're the Retail Association of Nevada. We support retail. We help it grow. And we mean business.
RANNV.org.
Is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Ross Kinson. He is the chair of the Washoe Dems. You bring up a ton of really interesting points here. And I guess from my perspective, I look at the cost of things and I think of how did I deal with those things when I was in my 20s and early 30s. I mean, when I was in my early 20s, I ate most of the time at 7-Eleven, okay? Yes. Swanson TV dinners. I wasn't spending a huge amount of money. I was making $2.50 an hour, and that was because I was at $3.50 and they didn't like my work, and so they lowered me to $2.50. So I understand living on a very poor scale. I understand that the cost of a house is extremely high, but right now we're building bigger and bigger houses, and that you know, that's part of the reason that the cost of housing is so high. But we're also not going back to things that we did in the past where, you know, I, for example, and I'm not a hero about this, but I worked three jobs for 2 years to save up the down payment on the house I bought. And so inflation-wise, it ain't that far different from what you're looking at now. And when we moved into the house, I had $500 left. And that had to go on light bulbs and waste baskets. So, you know, do we need to adopt a more Hispanic attitude where multiple levels of family live in the same house, where childcare is taken care of by grandma and the whole family is involved? You know, do we have to rethink the American idea of how we get ahead because of these costs? Long setup, but a brief answer. Very brief answer.
Brief answer. We should not compromise on the American dream. We should not compromise on giving young people the ability to start a family without the worry of how they're going to afford childcare. And I also worked multiple jobs, and I also ate peanut butter and Top Ramen. And a lot of folks do today too. The problem is that a can of tuna costs $2 as compared to 30 cents. And so we have to look at those things. We have to figure out how to maintain what you and I, you know, I came in just before that extreme spike. And so I was fortunate enough to be able to buy a home back in 2013, but I wouldn't be able to now.
Okay, let's take another quick break. We'll be right back.
Welcome to Story County, where history meets innovation and a pioneering spirit continues to shape our future. At the heart of the Tahoe-Reno Industrial Center, we power the future with global leaders in technology and manufacturing, driving progress that reaches far beyond our county lines. From advanced manufacturing to tech innovation, our industries are creating thousands of quality careers, fueling a vibrant economy that benefits every Nevadan. But it's more than just growth. Our community is our foundation, supporting families, empowering local initiatives, and creating a place where everyone belongs. Be part of a legacy built on bold ideas and boundless possibilities. Join us in building a brighter future right here in Story County. Story County, helping build Nevada's future.
As you know, Reno is booming. Tolls Development Company is helping it grow with insightful design and development, building community with every project, adding beauty, adding excitement, emphasizing our shared humanity. Reno is becoming bigger. Tolls Development is helping it become better, more livable, more enjoyable. To learn more, go to tollsdevelopment.com. tollsdevelopment.com.
Welcome to the Winnemucca Big R.
Hi, I'm John Walker. Welcome to Big R Lovelock.
Hi, I'm Rich Martin. Welcome to Fallon Big R.
My name is Braden. Welcome to Big R Fernley.
Hi, I'm Kelly. Welcome to Big R Sparks.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
I am back on Nevada Newsmakers. We're finishing up here with Ross Kinson, who's the chair of the Washoe Dems. You brought up a lot of interesting topics that we have not discussed on this program before. Please come back.
Yes, thank you for having me.
You're very welcome, and we'll be right back.
Each day, the Children's Advocacy Alliance partners with leaders, legislators, and families across Nevada to improve children's health, education, economic well-being, and safety. We recognize Nevada will be no better than the state of its children. Be a part of this change. Be a supporter of the Children's Advocacy Alliance. For more information, go to caanv.org.
Imagine a magical garden that feeds Carson City's hungry and homeless, teaches our high school students agriculture, creates hanging floral displays to beautify downtown, and yet charges nothing. It's not magic. It's the Greenhouse Project. It's real, it's growing, and it needs your help. Go online to carsoncitygreenhouse.org so together we can grow it forward.
Welcome to the Ahern Boutique Hotel, where luxury and warmth come together in the heart of Las Vegas.
We take pride in offering a one-of-a-kind experience for both locals and tourists.
Join us for handcrafted cocktails and an unforgettable experience.
Joel's Chop House, the perfect place to savor views of the Las Vegas Strip.
Satisfy your cravings at the Ahern Chocolate Shop.
No smoking, no resort fees, and the parking is always free. The Ahern Luxury Boutique Hotel is your home away from home.
Save money and take transit. Did you know you can ride the bus all day for less than what it would cost you for a gallon of gas? Plan your trip now by going to rtcwashoe.com.
You can always watch Nevada Newsmakers 24 hours a day at nevadanewsmakers.com. Thanks for watching and listening.